Thank you for joining us for this message from More Life Church, where we exist to love God, to love people, and to reach a region for Jesus and to make a difference for generations to come. Now, to learn more about how we're reaching our community and how you can partner with us and learn how God has uniquely designed you, check out Grow Steps on Demand by visiting morelifechurch.com/growsteps or by downloading our app today. But for now, enjoy today's message.
Pastor Josh started this series about partnership. And I think we understand partnership at a level and to a degree, but typically we understand it from a logical point of spaces where we live. Example would be music, right? How many of you now, some of you young people, you're gonna be like, I have no idea who these groups are, right? Seals and Crofts, right? Anybody with me on that? Yeah. I wrote some of these down. Hall & Oates. Oh yeah, Hall & Oates, we're going way back. Seals and Crofts. Simon and Garfunkel, whatever, right? A lot of young people have no idea. All right, well, I'm gonna go country on you for just a minute. What about Dan and Shay? Yeah, no, come on, Tracy. He's more like an AC/DC kind of guy. So those are like musical partnerships and we know that they work. Partnership works. Great business partnerships, Procter & Gamble. Most of us use a lot of their products and don't even know it. There were two men, Procter and Gamble, their last names. Hewlett and Packard. Ever heard of those? Two guys, super rich. We understand them. And here's my favorite. There's many. Ben and Jerry. Yeah. Really glad those two guys collaborated and got together. They make ice cream, in case you didn't know. So doing partnership is good. I want to read something, and it's going to be a little weird today. So, and the reason is that I need you all. We're going to make this as quick as we can. It's snowing outside, and I am so excited that you guys were crazy enough to be here. And so for that, I'm grateful. I'm going to come down there for just a minute. So let me do that. Get down here. We're going to read what Pastor Josh has been teaching. Woo! Silence is loud, isn't it? Why don't we all stand for just a moment? We're going to stand while I read this, not only in honoring the word, but to prove a point. I'm going to stand like over here. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into the boat, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put it out from the shore. All right, you can be seated. And it was just to prove a point. Here's the funny thing about Jesus. Sometimes we think that Jesus just walks on water. It's always spiritual. He was God. He walked this earth. And here's what I want you to understand. I have a question. How many of you in the back could actually see me? I mean, was it hard? How many of you couldn't see me? Well, better yet, hands everywhere. And as mountain as a man as I am, I'm shocked that you couldn't see me. Listen, Jesus, even as a man, had to do things as a man and be intentional. Now, this is all going to come together. He was pressed by the people. He thought to himself, well, if I just meditate and levitate, everyone can see me. See, that's what we think Jesus does all the time. No, he dealt with things like us. And he said, if these people are going to hear the word of God, I need to have them get this way, and I've got to get this way. Not only that, he did not have a megaphone or a microphone or a sound system. He used the ocean and the waters and the waves, which would help, that would help his voice go forward so people could hear him. Jesus was very intentional, even as a man, as he was limited without the power of God. Does that make sense? So today, listen, as we move forward, here's what we're gonna learn. At the end of the service, we're gonna have an opportunity, and I'm gonna show you what that looks like. Because here's what I'm not gonna let you do. I am not gonna let you sit there, let me entertain you, for you to sit on your derriere, and then to go, that was interesting, that was fun, that guy's a goofball, I didn't like him at all, why is his voice stressed, I'm not sure I'm coming back. I'm not gonna let you do any of that. I'm gonna let you get involved in your life. I'm gonna let you get involved in your life and maybe others. Now, when we read the scriptures, here's what's interesting. I'm just gonna take those four verses. We've already learned something new out of it. Jesus had to be intentional, and he did something on purpose. Now listen, then it says, after he was from the shore, then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. The word taught is translated instruct. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now remember, Simon was not a disciple. He was there, just picked him up, put out into the deep water, let down the nets for a catch. So I read that and I struggled with it. And I was like, my first question was, I wonder what he taught. No one says anything about what he taught. Here's what I believe. I believe that Jesus was talking about God is more than enough. Have faith. Everyone say faith. Faith. Say it like you mean it. Faith. Jesus taught about faith, trusting God, in miracles, in belief, what God can do. And then here's what I believe Jesus said. Now, you've heard, let's go act on it. Let's go do it. Hey, put your nets down for the fish. We're gonna go get them. He didn't say, let's see what happens. Let's see if we get anything. And we all know the story. It was the worst time in the world to fish. It didn't make sense. Today you're here and there's things that don't make sense to you. Somebody has cancer. Somebody needs healing. Someone needs a relationship restored. Struggling with our kids. Struggling with finances. Struggling with mental health. Here's what I want you to know. By the time we get done today, I want to stir and teach about faith so that our faith gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Now listen, listen. Not so that I can do anything. I'm not here to entertain anyone. I'm a bad actor. I'm not that good of a speaker. I'm here to give you the word of God so that the word of God can translate in your life. And like Jesus said, I just taught y'all something. Hey, what do you say we go do it? And let God bring forth an increase in our lives. That's what I believe he did. And he wasn't teaching about, hey, be a good person. Hey, and by the way, let's go catch fish. I believe he was teaching about faith and belief in God of more than enough. And he said, now let's go act on it. So we're gonna store up our faith. Everyone say faith. We're gonna talk about faith. See, it is impossible to please God without faith. Here's how important our faith is. Most of us know the story of Samson and Delilah. And women make your knees weak. That was a Rocky reference. But, you know, Delilah, you know, just kind of did it to him. And here's Samson that with his hair, which was his anointing. And I want to bring it as a reference to our faith. Here's what happened to Samson when he had his hair. That was his anointing. That was where his strength came from. God told him. And he could do, when the Spirit of God came upon him, Samson did amazing things, didn't he? I mean, it was amazing. A single man, take a jawbone. I'm gonna say it because it's kind of like a cuss word. He took a jawbone of an ass. Oh, pastor just cussed, a donkey, whatever you want to say. And he killed a ton of men with this thing because the anointing was on him. Now listen though, the minute that his hair was cut and he gave it up, the minute, the same people, Now think about our faith and our lives in Christ. The same people that feared him were the ones who tied him up and mocked and made fun of him. I'm gonna translate that to me, maybe not you as a Christian. Here's what I'm not gonna do. I'm not gonna let the world make fun of me. Not because it hurts, not because my faith is gonna be strong enough that, like Samson, they feared his God in a good way. They respected his God in a good way. The very minute he lost that, my concern for the church as a whole, not this church, but the church as a whole, guys, where's our anointing? Where's our power? Where's our belief? Where's our faith? The world needs and wants to see it. Now, they'll act like they don't, but let me tell you, when you start giving reports, I'm looking at these prayer requests, and there's a lot, and I love them. On the flip side of the prayer request, there's a space for praise reports. And what I wanna see are these things flipped over with praise reports and praise reports and praise reports and praise reports. Why? So that our God is glorified because he is more than able. He's never stopped and he's not gonna stop now. He's not gonna stop now, guys. I see the world tries to convince you of that, that this is some kind of let's go to church, sit down, hear a message, 5 points in a poem, leave, I feel better, I checked a box. That doesn't work anymore in the world we live in. It will eat you up and spit you out. So you better know whom you have trusted in and stir up that faith and that gift that is within you. Amen? Amen. That's good preaching. I don't care what you say. All right. So, Larry, I'm concerned. I'm not a good guy. I'm not a good girl. I'm not that good. Let me remind you that Simon was not a good guy, the fisherman. And yet, Jesus said, Simon, put your nets out there. Simon was blessed even when he was a cussing fisherman sailor guy. Well, what do you mean by that, Larry? Here's what I mean by that. Whatever it is you need today, there's nothing that you need to do but ask. There's nothing that you've got to jump through a hoop. Be like Larry, be like Josh, be like Daniel, be like a Christian you know. There's nothing that you have to do but to have faith. Why does it say that? If you're taking notes, Luke chapter 17, verse 6, it says, if you have faith like a mustard seed. If you've ever seen a mustard seed, that little sucker is small. Well, here's what's encouraging to me. I got that. I'm good. I think I got that. I think I have enough that we can say we can muster it up. Huh? We can muster it up. I don't know. I just thought of that, if that's where that comes from. So, man, the Holy Ghost is way smarter than I am. Is can we muster that up? That's all we need. So to hear your debt, today you're here, you're online, and there's something that you've been praying about, something that you're hoping for. Maybe you're even afraid to ask because you're not in right standing with God, right? And that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be, because listen to this also. Sometimes we create storms in our own life and then gripe and complain when it rains. Huh? Come on, somebody. Yeah, we do that. You know, we create all these storms and messes and then we wonder and complain when it starts to rain. You gotta fix that, y'all. You gotta fix it. Quit creating those storms and stuff. That was just a nice, polite rebuke. All right, so Luke chapter 9, verse 20, it says, take heart, daughter. And we're not gonna read the whole thing. Your faith has healed you. Your faith, he didn't say, you went to church every single Sunday, never missed one for a year. You went every time there was prayer, you gave to the church. He didn't say any of that. He said, daughter, your faith has healed you. That simple. Is it that simple? Yes, it is. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not complicated. I think we complicate this and then we get on the flip side and then the enemy gets in our head and thinks that we're not more than enough, we're not able, I'm not good enough. That has nothing to do with God wanting to show off in your life. God will heal you just to show off. God will give you things just to show off what he can and will do. He did it with Simon. Simon was a fisherman. So I'm gonna read only one more scripture. And in Mark, let me find it here. Mark, and I think this is one of the my favorite stories. The Bible, Mark chapter 4. And it starts in verse 39 and 41. So let me set the stage. Jesus had told that he had told the disciples, he said, let us go over to the other side. Let me stop there. Words matter. Pastor Josh says it to me all the time, and I listen. Because sometimes I spew out things before I think, and words matter. How many of you know that? It's like, oop, can't rewind that one. It's out. It's almost like send. Oops, can't get it back. Words matter. Here's what Jesus said. Let us go over to the other side. They're going to get on a boat. And he said, we're going over to the other side. What has God said in your life and promised you and said to you that you're starting to doubt now? What has he said in your life? What has he said? Here's what happened. So Jesus said, we're going over to the other side. Let's get in a boat. We all know the story. Jesus is tired. He's taking a nap. Sounds like me half the time. And he's down in the bow of the boat. And the waves are starting to come. They're breaching the bow of the boat. There's wind. And these men are like crazy. Like, what are we going to do? We're all going to die. Jesus said, let's go over to the other side. How many of you know there'll be trials and tribulations, even though you're going to the other side, right? Hold firm. Stand fast in that faith that you have. Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely, everyone say completely, completely calm. He said to the disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? You've seen me heal people. You've seen me do some crazy things. And we get on the boat, and I told you, we're going to the other side, and now you have a little struggle, and you get all jacked up, and you're afraid. Where is your faith? And then here's what happened. They were terrified and asked each other, who is this, even the wind and the waves? Obey him. Not closing yet, but getting close. Who is this? Well, he's a life changer. He'll change your life, ladies and gentlemen. He can change your life. I could tell you the story of my life, but instead, I'm gonna tell you a story of when I was 17 or so, a young man that I grew up, Randy Patton, he was 16. And this is gonna sound pretty rude, but I'm just giving you an honest truth. I wasn't saved. I was 17. This kid, Randy Patton, he was not saved either. He was a dope dealer in school. He was on dope. He drank. He was a bad egg. You know, I was an athlete. You know, athletes don't do that. So here's what we called them. This was in the 70s. So young people, I know, like I was walking with Jesus, right? So that's how old I was or am. And in the 1970s, we called them sewer rats. Called them sewer rats. I was like, boy, that's pretty disgusting, right? As a description. They were like sewer rats. This Randy Patton, he lived down the street from me, and I knew it was a bad egg. Now, of course, as an athlete, I justified things. Listen, can I be honest with you? Can I be transparent? As an athlete, it was okay for me to get stone drunk, but it wasn't okay for me to smoke pot. So somehow I was balancing drunk and smoking pot, and I wasn't a sewer rat because I was an athlete and drank. Makes no sense, does it? And yet, he was selling drugs, and he was a bad guy. And I knew him. Come to find out, some point in at school that year, someone came up to me. Now, I wasn't born again. I didn't know Jesus. And he goes, hey, did you hear about Randy Patton? I'm like, no, what's up? Dude, he's a Jesus freak. I'm like, there is no way. I'm like, dude, that guy's a sewer rat. He's a dope dealer. He's high all the time. I mean, I remember seeing Randy on the street, and it was your typical, like a movie. I mean, I would see Randy on our street, and you'd be like, hey, Randy. I mean, I was nice to him. You know, hey, Randy. Hey, man, what's up? You know, eyes are glassed away, not a worry in the world. At some level, I was like, hey, that's kind of cool, you know? And he just, not a care in the world. He was making money. He was selling drugs, dope dealer. And he was like, what's up, you know? And he was just gone all the time, glassy-eyed, stoned all the time. And I thought, I got to check this dude out. And so when I went and saw him, I was like, hey, Randy, what's up? His face was changed. His eyes were changed. His life was changed. Listen, that doesn't just happen because a person chooses at the age of 16 or 17 to just make an adjustment. I knew this kid. Something happened in his life, and he became the same kind of Jesus drug dealer as he was when he was a drug dealer everywhere he went. Oh, praise the Lord. God is so good. And I was like, you're a weirdo now. You went from sewer rat to weirdo. Jesus freak. God changed his life. Ladies and gentlemen, God can change your life if you're tired of it. Randy was tired of it. And you know what? Randy's probably 62, 63. I don't know. He's a year or two younger than me. He's still serving God. His kids play on the praise and worship team. His wife is following Christ, and they're making a difference, and his life has never, ever been the same. And because of that, my life changed. Seeing his life. Is that good or what? So who is this guy? Amen. Amen. I mean, that's a life change. Well, he's a life changer. He's a healer. I still remember my daughter many years ago. She was 2 years old. Ear infection after ear infection. So who is this guy? Who is he? Well, my wife and I started attending a church that was in Columbus, and whether you like the guy or not, or the church, I mean, it was spirit-filled, man. That stuff was happening there. I was going to another church, and it was okay, but which is, you know, not what we do here. We're not just going to sit. I told you that at the beginning, right? We're not just going to sit here. I'm not here to entertain you. God isn't here to entertain you. God is here to get in your life and make a difference, not only in yours, but in the world around you. That's how this works. It is, right? That's how it works. Well, man, I started hearing stuff I had never heard. I started, like, my faith. Everyone say faith. My faith got stirred up. I was going to a church. It was a good church. I got baptized there, but I started hearing things about what God can do and believing in and having faith. And so my daughter, my wife took her to the doctor, and they said, oh man, her ears, I believe they have scarring. They're messed up. She's going to need tubes. We have to put tubes in her ears. Man, I'm like, huh. And see, it's the norm. I mean, it's what the word will tell you, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But I thought to myself, hey, I've been hearing this stuff. You see, faith comes by what? Hearing. Hearing what? The message of Christ. It's the word. What's the message of Christ? Hope, healing, forgiveness, woo, deliverance. And so I thought, well, you know what? We have nothing to lose. So my wife and I, we prayed for it. We just prayed. What are you gonna, no one's gonna shoot us, you know, that I'm aware of. And so we prayed for her. She went back for her appointment, and literally, basically, the doctor said, is this the same girl you brought in the first time? She doesn't need any tubes. Man, that stirred my faith up to believe that our God is able. And he cared about me and my 2-year-old daughter to make a difference and to share that with the world. Now, here's what happens. You're sitting there, and I get it. You know, my father-in-law, which I love dearly, and he since passed, is he used to say, look at these prayer cards, we would joke, we'd be at the house or if things were going kind of crazy, and I'd be like, I don't know what we're going to do. And he would look at me and say, well, is it bad enough to pray yet? I'd be like, I think I probably let it get to that, yeah. Probably should have started this days ago. And he would say that. Well, listen, I know where you're at. We were there for a minute. My father-in-law died of a brain tumor. We prayed, we believed, we fasted, we prayed, we rebuked, we believed, we had faith, we had this, we had that, and he still died. And for a number of years, I kept God, when it come to healing and anything faith, I kept him in an arm's reach. I can't trust you there. I love you, but I've lost some trust. Anybody else been there? I mean, I've lost trust. No, I believe there's a heaven. I believe God is good. I just don't believe all this mess. Name and claim it, message and all this. It just, I was tired. I just didn't trust him. And it was until probably over the last 6 years of my wife and I's life that my faith has grown more than ever before. See, faith is similar to a muscle. You know, I got to the point where I felt bad that I didn't believe. I'd hear a preacher say something about healing, and listen, I'd just check out. I'm like, whatever happens, happens. You don't even need to pray. If it's God's will, whatever happens, happens. And God so gently waited and waited and just said, Larry, you don't understand everything. All I'm asking you to do is to pray. Whatever happens after that is not your responsibility. You see, we've heard it said by Pastor Josh, disappointment is the result of unmet expectations. My expectations were just everyone that I prayed for, this is the way it was gonna work. Like a Pez dispenser. God's just gonna, God's like, no, that's not quite how I operate, Larry. But do you love me? Can you trust me again? And I've come full circle. It doesn't matter. I'm gonna do my part, and I trust then that he will do his part, and it's not my responsibility. In the last 6 years, I had a time where, I mean, I guess I could say I grew through this situation, and it was, I would say I lost a job, which is a whole lot better than saying I got fired from a job, isn't it? Sounds better. It's kind of like saying, you know, somebody has an affair. That's different than adultery. They're the same, one just sounds worse than the other. An affair, adultery, you know, two different feelings there, right? So I would tell people, well, I got let go from a job. At the end of the day, I was fired. And listen, it's okay, don't judge me. You know, I've really come to a place in my life to really realize what other people think about me is none of my business, don't care. But I had to come to the realization I was fired from the job. And I was fired from the job, and here's why. I knew God had been telling me to leave this position for probably 2 years, and I didn't do it. And God's like, I will get you out of there one way or another. And so I was fired, and it's okay, because the steps of a righteous man or woman, they're ordered of the Lord, and my faith has grown to no matter what happens in my life, right? No matter what happens, y'all, in your life, God has a plan for you, even in the midst of the mess. And I stood, go ahead, man, God is good. Listen, here's what I said, told my wife. I was a little cocky, because I was, first of all, the whole healing thing, and then now I got let go, fired, this hurts. And I told her, she'll tell you this. I said, well, here's what I want to tell everybody, this whole faith thing. If you and I end up living in a cardboard box, I'm gonna tell them, oh yeah, God's really good. And she stepped away a little bit and said, yeah, that, you might wanna believe that, but a lightning bolt might be coming down. I was mad. I was mad at God. But yet I learned through like going to the gym. You know, it amazes me of my 42 years in the fitness industry, people that join a gym and think because they have a membership card, they're gonna lose weight. Because you come to church doesn't mean anything. You gotta flex your faith. Everyone say, flex my faith. We gotta work on flexing our faith. When you start training that faith muscle, it'll start rising. And over the last 6 or 7 years, it had to be flexed and it hurt and there's pain in working out. But by flexing my faith, I'm at a place, I really am. I'm not tempting God, I'm not tempting the enemy. I just know where I'm at in my faith walk right now. Is it, I just have let go. My wife, who's a real estate agent, this is not a commercial, irrelevant, but she's a real estate agent, and at times, Danielle is also a real estate agent. If you're looking for a home, you're looking for a home. That is a commercial. So that was a paid ad, and I endorse this. I approve this message. There are times when my wife will come to me and go, I have nothing in the pipeline. You know, you had this many sales, everything seems well, and you know in sales, it can go crazy. And I'll just tell her, hey, I'm not worried about it. And lo and behold, it happens nearly every time. She'll either give me a call because she's excited, and she'll go, out of the blue, shocker, somebody called me, and somebody hooked me up with them, and I have a client. Yeah? What's so shocking about that? I mean, I love her, and I encourage her, but I'm like, just wait for it. Wait for it. The Bible says that God works on our behalf even when we sleep. Is that good news, y'all? Daniel, if you can come and help me, I need to close. There were a couple other scriptures. I'm not gonna read those, but here's what I wanna do. At the beginning of the service, I said, Jesus taught as a man. He set it up so people could see and hear him. That's why I'm actually on the stage, or you wouldn't be able to see me. He did that, and he taught the word, I believe, with all my heart. He taught about something that was encouraging, and then he said, hey, now we're gonna see what God will do. Let's operate in what we've learned. Ladies and gentlemen, we are drowning in information. We're drowning in information. Google, internet, YouTube. We're drowning it. How old so-and-so? We get our phone. Hey, how old is this person? Whoa, didn't know they were that old or that young. Hey, information overload. We are drowning in information, even when it comes to God, but we are starving in wisdom on how to use the information we have. I want to start today with you, with me, and say, what do you see what God will do today? What do you say? Do you guys want to see what God will do today? How many of you want to see what God will do today? I do. I do. So with that said, we're going to operate in that. We're going to do just like what Jesus said. He goes, hey, then let's go catch some fish. Let's operate in what we just were taught. Today you're here. Is there someone who needs healing? Just slip up your hand. Don't be shy. Slip up your hand. Anybody? Right here, right here, right here, right here, right here, all over. All right, so here's what I want you to do. Normally we don't. We reserve this to other special times, typically, but today we're not gonna do that. Yeah, we're gonna do something different. We're gonna believe God. And this doesn't mean that we haven't before. I'm not saying that. But we're going to do something different today. We're going to step out. We're going to let some nets down. So those of you that needed healing, I want you to raise your hand real high. So look around, and I need somebody, if not a number of people, to go around to them because we're going to pray for them. Somebody that has faith. Come on, someone that has faith, get up, and we're going to go pray. There's somebody over here. Raise your hands. Hi, we're going to pray for you. This shouldn't be awkward. This is the word of God. Leave your hand up. Leave it up high. And we're gonna put somebody back here. We got two people back here that need prayer. Come on. Thank you, Jake. Thank you. He has faith. He has faith. Danielle has faith. Kim has faith. Yes, these ladies here have faith. Anyone else? Anyone who's not being prayed for? Slip up your hand. Somebody get beside him. Prayer over here. This lady right back. Okay, put your hands on him. I'm gonna start praying, but here's what I want you to do. We have faith, you have faith. I believe you have faith. God is a healer. He's never stopped, he never will. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm believing for miracles in this place today. So why don't you start praying for that person? Heavenly Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we ask you that the Spirit of God falls on this place right now like never before. God, we are expecting miracles. We have faith as that, as a grain of a mustard seed. And right now in Jesus' name, we claim healing on these bodies in Jesus' name. Bodies, be made whole in Jesus' name. Father, we give you praise. We give you thanks for those that are addicted. God, we reach out. You are the addiction breaker. You are the family shaker. You will put them back together. God, for those that need finances in their life, let there be a miracle in this house today. Addiction, be broken. Poverty, be broken. Sick bodies, be healed. Prodigals, come home in the precious name of Jesus. God, you have your way where the Spirit, Lord, where the Spirit is there, there is liberty. There is freedom for you to work. Work in these lives and in this space right now in the precious, precious and mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Thanks again for joining us for this message from More Life Church. Now, if this message spoke to you, we would love for you to share it with someone you think could use it. And finally, if you would like to partner with us financially, you can do that by visiting morelifechurch.com/give. Now have an amazing day.